First Samuel, chapter number 13, and I'll begin reading at verse number 15. And Samuel arose and got him up from Gilgal unto Gibeah of Benjamin. And Saul numbered the people that were present with him, about 600 men. And Saul and Jonathan his son and the people that were present with them abode in Gibeah of Benjamin. But the Philistines encamped in Michmash. And the spoilers came out of the camp of the Philistines in three companies. One company turned unto the way that leadeth unto Ophrah, under the land of Shual, and another company turned the way to Beth-horon, and another company turned to the way of the border that looketh to the valley of Zeboam toward the wilderness. Now there was no smith found throughout all the land of Israel, for the Philistines said, lest the Hebrews make them swords or spears. But all the Israelites went down to the Philistines to sharpen every man his share and his coulter and his axe and his mattock. Yet they had a file for the mattocks and for the coulters and for the forks and for the axes and to sharpen the goads. So it came to pass in the day of battle that there was neither sword nor spear found in the hand of any of the people that were with Saul and Jonathan, but with Saul and with Jonathan his son was there found. And the garrison of the Philistines went out to the passage of Michmash. I want to look through these scriptures this morning here and in the chapter surrounding, but the thought that came to me was, you can't go to war without a weapon. You can't go to war without a weapon. The children of Israel had been in bondage to the Philistines. They are at war with the Philistines, as they have been many times and still are to this day. But they had gotten them to the place, the Philistines had gotten them to the place that nobody in the land of Israel was a blacksmith. They'd taken all the blacksmiths to the Philistines. And so there was no blacksmith there. No smith, it said. Nobody to make weapons of war. They allowed them to have a file, and they could file their goads, their hoes, you know, the things that he mentions here, their mattocks, axes for busting wood and so forth, because you don't, you know, it doesn't need to be too sharp. But to have a real sharp instrument, a weapon, that is designed specifically as a weapon. It's designed for that. It's made for that. It's what you take to war with you. Listen, I want to tell you something. I know men have had to do a lot of things to defend themselves, try to, in the past. But if you've got the difference between a hoe and a sword, I'd say you're going to pick up that sword if it came to going to war.
Right. Oh,
yeah. Amen. I don't know many that's going to, you know, pick up a hoe or even a gold devil. Amen. They're going to find that nice sharpened sword that's I mean, it's used specifically for battle. It's used for killing. But there was no smith. Look at that in verse 19. There was no smith found throughout all the land of Israel. For the Philistines said, lest the Hebrews make them swords and spears. They knew they did not want swords and spears in the hands of their enemy. Can I tell you today that your enemy doesn't want you to know how to use a sword? Doesn't want you to have a sword. Now we have a sword, but I mean if you don't know how to use it, you just well as not to have a sword. But they didn't even have one. Are you listening to me? Listen, it'd be a shame to not have a Bible in your house. Do you know that? It'd be a shame to not own a good Bible. I mean, a real good King James Bible. 16, amen. And I mean, a real good Bible that you can take and trust in. That you can look in. That you know God said it's like a sharp two-edged sword. He said His word, it even breaketh like a hammer. Amen. It's like having a breaking hammer in one hand and a sharp two-edged sword in the other hand to have the Word of God. But their enemy, they said, we don't want them to have a sword. Why? They knew that they could defend themselves against the Philistines if they had a sword. And you and I, listen, we must have this sword if we're going to defend ourselves against the enemy that we face. All the enemies that we face. Because we're going to face them every day. Listen, you're either going to be overcoming your enemies or you're going to be overcome by them. Enslaved. A lot of people are enslaved today. They don't realize it. But it's like the children of Israel. They had gotten comfortable eating the leeks and garlics in Egypt. Right. To the place where when God said, I want you out of there, and I want you out of that place, and I want you out of that diet, that they just, some of them couldn't handle it. I mean, buddy, it was in their flesh, amen. They started missing those leeks and garlics and all the flesh that they had down in the land of Egypt. But that was not what God wanted for the children of Israel. And God don't want certain things for you and I today. And we know about it in His Word. We find these things in His Word. Listen, don't be subject to the things of the world. Don't be turned to the world. Don't be turned to the things that Satan wants to turn your way. He don't want you to have a sword. I promise you this. The people that you find that don't think much about being separated as far as what the Word of God says, they're a worldly person most of the time. And it may not be that they even want to be. They just don't know how to be anything else. Amen. Why? Because they've been where they are for so long and they need something. Amen. And that's this book. That's God's Word, amen, to instruct you and I to help us to know what direction in life we need to be going in. How to defend ourselves. Listen, I want to tell you something. I look at this and I see some things. I see several things. First, I mean, they were at war with the Philistines. But I saw they had a leader whose name was Saul. And Saul did something he shouldn't have done. Saul tried to take the place of the man of God. You'll find back earlier in this chapter, chapter 13, he was waiting for Samuel. Samuel was the man of God. Samuel was the one that God called.
amen, to be the prophet. Samuel was the one who was the one that said, God wants a sacrifice now, or God says build an altar now. He was the voice of God. Well, Samuel got a little held up, and Saul decided he wasn't going to wait around for the words of the man of God. And so he ordered them to bring an offering to him, to bring a burnt offering and peace offerings. And he offered that. And I want to tell you, God, that was when God rejected him as king.
Right.
He was the first king, and God was the first king of Israel. Was supposed to be the only king, but they wanted a king like everybody else. God gave them what they wanted. Listen, sometimes you get what you want and then you'll find out that it may not have been what you needed. Amen? And that's exactly what happened to Israel. God finally said, I'll let you have a king. And this king led them time after time after time away from God. Led them away from God. He tried to be a good leader, but he was not the leader. There's a difference in trying to be a good leader and being the leader. There's only one leader. Amen? And his name is Jesus. Amen? That's right. He is the divine, supreme leader. Amen. I'm his under-shepherd. That's what I am. And just like Samuel, God gives us a word for his people, a word for a time, a word of exactly what God wants. But Saul didn't want to wait on that. And Samuel showed up and said, what hast thou done? What have you done, Saul? And the people were scattered because of what he had done. Samuel saw that the people were scattered. I mean, when they started out in chapter 13, they had 3,000 men for an army that Saul had chosen. 2,000 were with him, and 1,000 of them were with his son Jonathan. God bless Jonathan. 3,000, and he sent the rest of them to their tents. Thought, we've got an army. We've got all the men he no doubt picked out the best. And now, because of the work of the hands of Saul, supposed to be the king, the head of the army, but because he wouldn't wait on the words of the man of God, amen? I mean, as to whether or not, I mean, his army is now scattered. They don't have 3,000, they've got 600. And they're scared to death. God, through Samuel, told him, said, your kingdom's not going to continue. And God has sought him a man after his own heart. Listen, that's what God wants. I mean, if you're going to go to war with the Lord, he's looking for somebody that's got a heart for God. Amen? That's the best soldier you can find, is a soldier that has a heart for God. Where are those soldiers today that have a real heart for God? Amen? Somebody needs to stand up and say, I want to be a soldier for the Lord in today's army. Have a real heart for God. Not just say it. Amen. But really have it. To have a real heart. I mean, to say, somebody could have said, now Saul, this ain't right. I know you're king, but we better wait on the man of God. We better wait on Samuel, or things is going to go bad. And that's exactly what happened. But God is looking for now a man after his own heart that's going to replace Saul. And he said he's commanded him to be the captain over his people. You know who that was? A little shepherd boy named David. A young man. He wasn't as tall as Saul. Wasn't as broad as Saul. And listen, maybe wasn't as experienced in military tactic as Saul. But he had a heart for God. David had a heart for God. Everything he did it after his heart for God. Amen? You know how that he killed that bear and that lion that tried to take his sheep? He said so out of his own mouth. It was the Lord that helped him. Amen? The Lord, that's how, who David saw. Amen. That's how you be a person of God's heart. You seek God's will, seek God's face, seek what God's help in everything you do. Don't ever feel like you can do something on your own. I can't battle on my own. You can't battle on your own. We can't go to war on our own. And we can't go to war without a weapon. Amen. So Israel, without weapons, can you imagine that? Without weapons. But Samuel arose, and with those 600 that were left, but none of them had a sword, not a spear. The only ones that had them was Saul and Jonathan. Saul, because he's king, and Jonathan, probably because he was smart and spiritual enough to know he needed one. Even though, I mean, what would you do if you saw the Philistines taking all the Smiths out of the land of Israel? Well, you know, if you don't think much about what an enemy can do, you wouldn't think much about it. But to somebody that has known what that enemy will do and knows they need smiths for weapons, he's going to make sure he has one, at least one. One real good one. Amen? I mean, that's what you do. I mean, even in our time, we've got carnal people. Every time they've made a sounding blare that they want to start taking people's guns away, there's a pretty good crowd that goes and buys more. You know why? Because if they do get it, I'm at least going to have mine. Amen. That's right. I'm going to have something. I ain't going to let them take it away. Amen? Hey, that's somebody that's on the edge and knows what it is to have to go to war, to know what an enemy will do. We need some watchmen on the walls, don't we? In this day, we need some people that have a heart for God. Jonathan, I believe, was a man that had a heart for God, and he had an armor bearer just like him. The Bible says this. It says in chapter number 14, "Now it came to pass in verse 1, upon a day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said unto the young man that bare his armor, come and let us go over to the Philistines' garrison that is on the other side." But he told not his father. And Saul tarried in the uttermost part of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree. So while Saul is sitting under the shade of a pomegranate tree, his son, Jonathan, got his young armor bearer and said, "Let's go over to that garrison of the Philistines." Just one man. One man and his armor bearer. And he gets to the place. The Bible says in verse 5, the forefront of one was situate northward over against Michmash, and the other southward over against Gibeon. Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, "Come, let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised." You need to see your enemy for what they are. Amen. He saw them as the uncircumcised, the God deniers. What he was saying, these men are different from us. They are the enemy. He marked them as such. And he said, I love this verse. He said, it may be that the Lord will work for us. For there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. In other words, if God gets in this thing, he told me, if God helps us, amen, God can help us slew as many of them or as few of them as he wants us to. If God gets in it, amen, he had seen God where he had confidence in his God. Amen, having confidence in your God. And his armor bearer, look at this, I love this, said unto him, "Do all that is in thine heart, turn thee. Behold, I am with thee according to thy heart." Praise God. I mean, listen, Jonathan had a man of faith for his armor bearer. Amen. He had somebody that was willing to say, "Jonathan, you do whatever in your heart. I'm with you all the way." Amen. That's what we need in God's house. Some people that'll say, "Do what's in your heart." Amen. We're with you, preacher, all the way. Boy, it helps matters. Do you know that? It certainly does. I'll never forget when I was a young preacher, as an old preacher said, for somebody to holler amen to a preacher's like yelling "sick 'em to a bulldog." I never forgot that. Amen. It just brings on that much more. Amen. When you listen, the Bible says that Jesus even spoke as people were able to receive it. The more God's people receive, the more God's people say amen and want, the more God's people say like this man, "Preach what's in your heart," the more it comes. Amen. The more it comes. But can you imagine? I thought about this. There was no smith found. Chapter 13, verse 19. Where are the smiths? Where are the prayer warriors? Where are the soul winners? Where are the spiritual singers, spiritual preachers? Amen. No smiths. People that can work the sword and bring it into existence. Are you listening to me? There's only certain people can be a smith. Listen, God gives us everyone a great talent. We all have something to do for God. Something. But some people, it seems like, are blessed or anointed to do something very specific. And you need to do that. You need to do that. If God has handed that to you, you need to do it. And you need to do it with everything that's within you. Listen, if they only had one smith, I'm sure if he was a good one, he'd have worked himself to death bringing spears and swords to the armies of Israel. Amen? They didn't even have one. Just one. Just somebody. Just somebody. Think about the somebodies that God's asking about here. Somebody to be the right kind of king. Somebody that'll follow me with their whole heart. Somebody to be a smith. Somebody to be like Jonathan. And go to war because he's got confidence in his God. Where are those somebodies? Listen, don't give up just because these last days people are going to sleep.
Right.
Listen, watch the fellow next to you. If he starts dozing off, shake him. That's what you do in a foxhole. Amen? Hey, open your eyes. That's what we should do to one another. Nudge one another every now and then. Say, wake up. Don't fall asleep yet. Amen. The war is still won. Jesus is coming. Hey, wait, no Jesus to come. I ain't going to get ahead of him. Don't want to try to get ahead of him. Waiting for his word. Ready to fight. Ready to go. Saul had done something very foolish at the end. Still fighting these enemies. Listen, sometimes if you're not careful, and even leaders, if they're not careful, they can do things that oppose their own warfare. Let me show you something. Right on down in chapter number 14. How Jonathan has wrought a great victory by the hand of God in those garrison of the Philistines. But Saul had charged his men because they had been so overrun. He said, nobody's going to eat anything. You're going to separate yourself for my cause until I get my revenge. Nobody eats nothing. This is an oath that we're going to take before the Lord. And we're not going to eat anything until we defeat this enemy and I get my revenge. And the men got so weary. Listen, they had fought and fought and fought the best they could, fought. And they had done amazing things just by the help of God. But they were completely spent. Why? They hadn't had anything to nourish them. Listen, if anybody knows anything, you've got to keep strength in your soldiers. And he asked them to do something that was going to surely strip it from them. Ask them to do something that they physically could not continue to do. Sometimes, listen, preachers, if they're not careful, can put on somebody things that they don't need to take on. And it's a defeat against the warfare. A defeat against the warfare. I'm not talking about things that are true biblically. He was asking them something. God hadn't told him to do that. He made that up himself. Those are the things that will hurt. They'll hurt. They'll hurt the warfare. The men will get weak because they don't have what they need. They walked into a place and there was honey. There's woods there. They walked in the woods and it was just honey dripping everywhere. But they were scared to death because of the oath. Jonathan wasn't there when his father gave that oath. Jonathan was tired, weary. He was a man of war. Walked into them woods with those men, saw that honey and went. And those men took a big breath. You just broke your father's covenant. He told us not to eat anything. There they are about to pass out. Weak, so weak they can't sling another arm. And he said, my father told you wrong. He had the strength spiritually to tell them that wasn't from God. It's killing every one of you. Because he asked you to do something for him and not for God. Boy, they started eating that honey. I'm telling you what they got. I mean, because he proved to them. He said, if I'd have been cursed, he said, why did my eyes lighten when I took the bite of honey? In other words, why did the strength surge back in me? Just as quick as I took a bite of honey. If it had been a curse on that, it wouldn't have done that to me. And they saw. They had a real leader in Jonathan. Thank God for Jonathan. Showing them the right way. But Saul, he was upset. Oh, he was upset. But Jonathan had told him. I mean, listen. Him doing this helped to defeat his own cause. It caused his people to faint. It caused God to refuse to answer him. You see, Saul's off doing his own thing now. He's not following God's voice. He didn't even wait for Samuel. Now he stepped out there again, just like he's the authority of God himself. Take an oath. Don't eat till my revenge comes. Well, he's not even king anymore in the eyes of God. Amen? So there he is, caused God to refuse to answer him. He's trying to get in touch with God. He caused all of Israel to refuse to answer him. They're finding they can't even follow him anymore. They defied their king. But this great victory was cut short. And they had to turn around and fight the Philistines again later on. If he hadn't have done that to them, they could have went on and slew the Philistines. But they got too weak to fight anymore. Sometimes listen, I don't ever want to overcharge to bring upon this group of people, this congregation, things that are my ideas. Because that's only going to defeat the work we're trying to do. But if it's the God of heaven, and I pray that it always is, that's my prayer. I hope you know that is my prayer, that the God of heaven and His Word is always foremost in everything that we do. In everything we teach, in everything we preach, it is the weapon that you and I need. It's the weapon to defeat our enemies. It's the weapon to keep us strong. It'll keep us from being defeated. Amen. Think about that. Jonathan had a great victory. All because he knew, even though his father had not leaned on the Lord, Jonathan did. We need Jonathans. Again, we need faithful men like his armor bearer. Faithful men like the Israelites that was left that can see the true. Listen, they were trying to be obedient even unto their own demise. I've seen people do that. Follow a man instead of following God. And it was a kill to their own life. It spiritually took them down. God don't want you took down. He wants you lifted up. He wants you to be able to overcome your enemy. To go to warfare and know what you need. Don't go to war without a weapon. Don't even think you can go to war without a weapon. Don't go to war without His Word. Amen. Thank God. Don't go to war unless you go the right way. I want you to stand. Bless your heart. Thank you for listening.